Well, Lord, I thank you for Pastor Al. And I thank you for this season that he's in and this trip that you took him and his wife on to the Middle East and the things that you showed him and the things that he has, that you've put on his heart to share with us that he received from you on this trip. And Lord, we ask that you would right now, that you would anoint his words, God, to speak your truth, your revelation. God, we ask this morning that we would encounter you through his message. Open up our hearts. Open up our eyes and ears to receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. If you want to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. It's where we'll be camping this morning. As we were away for about 2 weeks, we were about 6 or 7 days in Izmir and Turkey. And in that area, of course, is the seven churches of Asia Minor. And we spent about equal to a day in historic Ephesus. And as I mentioned last week when I showed you some of those pictures, it was a very, very significant time for me as I meditated and thought about, and in my spirit, man, I could hear the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John speak. And Timothy was there many times as well. And so these names would come to mind as I was just thinking about the scriptures that mentioned them and their work. And so, of course, Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, is my favorite New Testament letter of all of the writings of the New Testament other than what Jesus wrote, of course, or Jesus spoke and what was recorded, what he spoke, was tremendous influence in my life over the years. But the book of Ephesians, probably the letter to the Ephesians, was the most dramatic and dynamic of all. And so today what I want to do is I want to focus on defining the difference between favor and love. And I'm going to build it on these two passages of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. And because of the whole dynamic of, did I say Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians 3. Thank you, Gary. I get it. This means 3, right? Okay. Yes, it is Ephesians chapter 3. So what I want to do this morning is just to focus on using these scriptures, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21, and it's a prayer of the apostle, but I want to use it as a prayer, as a scripture base for praying. And like I've taught you many times, if we pray the word, you can't go wrong. And so many times we think, well, I just don't know what to pray. Well, just pray the word, and you can never fall short in your prayer time. Basically, what prayer is just speaking back to God what God has already said, one way or another, as it is recorded in his written word or his rhema word, one or the other. And so I'm just going to pray through this morning, and then we'll get started. Father God, I thank you that we can bow our knees before you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we submit to you as we humbly bow before you. And we know that because of who you are and what you've accomplished and what you've established in the earth, all of the family of God, whether it be in Pagosa Springs or any other place in the world, the whole family in heaven and earth is named by you and about you and for you and with you. It's all about you, God. It's all about you, Jesus. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have anointed and appointed us, called us to this moment to be intercessors in this hour, that you would grant us, according to those riches, the riches of all that is glory, because of who Jesus is and because of what God has established, Father has established in his kingdom. through your Spirit, through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. God, I just thank you for coming and speaking to us inside us, to taking up residence inside us. I thank you for the temple that you've made our bodies to be so that we can together with you communicate, dialogue, that we can share with one another that which is intimate, the most intimate part of our being, that we together may dwell with Christ in our hearts, that we would be rooted and grounded in the love which only God can give, which only Father can give, which only Jesus can give, the Holy Spirit. As you minister your love to us and as you sacrifice yourself on our behalf and give to us from every aspect of your life into our life. Yes, God, I thank you that your life is our life because of your love to us. I thank you that we can come to comprehend with all the saints of all the ages, and particularly right now as we focus right in this room, that we can comprehend together what is the width, the depth, the height, the breadth, the length of all that is love that comes from you. I thank you that the love of Jesus Christ, which passes all knowledge, has filled us with the fullness of God. Father, I can't comprehend this. This is immeasurable to me to comprehend. And so, Father, somehow this morning, give to us a revelation what it means to be filled with the fullness of you, the fullness of God. Yes. Yes. Right now in your spirit, just as you're praying before God, right now, just ask God. Ask God to show you, to give you revelation as to what it really means to be filled up with the fullness of God Himself. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Father, because of your great love to us and the foundation of your grace ministers into our lives, only you are able to do that which is exceeding above and beyond what we could ask or think. Father, there are many things that we ask for. There's many things that we think about. There's many things that we concentrate on. There's many things that our focus is on you, and we want to grasp. We want to understand what that is. We want to understand what love is, from the perspective of measuring in infinity, really is. We want to understand what knowledge about you and understanding about you and all your fullness in us, we want to understand what that really is. For it is a great power. It is the only power that we need that works in us. And I thank you that to you, glory and honor, praise, all that is worship is brought back to you, to all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. So be it. So by way of introduction, if you're following along in the notes, in this letter, Paul expresses the love and favor of God upon those who believe. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 3, 8 to 13, as well as Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, in another brief form, as we move through the message here this morning. In this study, I'm going to make an attempt, and I say attempt, I'm going to make an attempt to distinguish the difference between love and favor. The difference between love and favor. We tend to define love and favor as the same thing, and it is not. Let me repeat that. We tend to define love and favor as the same thing, but it is not. They're related, God's expression of love and favor may not be what we think, and I would almost guarantee you it's not what we think. A, in your outline, love is equal to all by God, but his favor has mysterious preference. Love is equal. It's an equal basis to all by God, but his favor has a mysterious preference. His love is immeasurable. That's infinity. There's no way to measure God's love for us. How could God love us so much that he would fill us with himself to the fullness of what he is? Come on. Do we get this? I mean, does this light your fire or what? If not, your wood is wet. I'll guarantee you. Because we have to recognize, in order for God to pour his love into us and fill us with the fullness of himself, something supernatural has to happen. Supernatural. It can't be in the natural. So God's love for us is not dependent upon his favor. God's love for us is not dependent upon his favor, but favor may not be, favor is dependent upon his love. God's measured favor toward us is in specific seasons does not diminish his love at any time. There are times when we sense the favor of God upon us that is greater than it is at other times. And does that minister to anybody? Do you get that? You sense the favor of God is on you sometimes more than others. And what we tend to do then, because that favor is ebb and flow, we tend to define it as love. And so we think, somehow in our soulish man, we think that God is loving us less because his favor is fluctuating. And that's not so. God's love never, ever fluctuates. It's always the same, always the same. Now, the growth in our understanding of God's love always changes. We know that too. And the growth in understanding God's favor on us, as it changes, we grow in that as well. God's favor rests on different people in disproportionate amounts at different times for reasons that no one can explain but God. let me encourage you with this. Don't get hung up on this. Just because you cannot explain why God has his favor upon you at certain times more than others, or favor upon you more than another person, or another person more than you, don't try to explain that. Fact is, the Apostle Paul says, don't be comparing yourselves among yourselves, issue being. Don't be looking at the favor of God in someone else's life as greater or more important than God's favor in your life. Because that will get you nowhere. In fact, is all that will do is feed the flesh, and you'll become jealous. You'll become envious. And of course, we know that's not of God. So, let God explain it to you. But I want to encourage you with something. If you ask God, why is it that your favor is on so-and-so more than it is on me? Why is it that your favor on me is greater at times than it is at others? Why is it? You ask God that question. He probably won't answer it. Fact is, I could almost guarantee you he's not going to answer that question. Why? Because what he wants you to do is function by faith. He wants you to trust him to the end. He doesn't want you to be trying to figure out everything about how he does things and why he does things. B, note John and Peter. You remember Jesus said to John that he was, or John even said that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. But Peter seemed to be the disciple that Jesus favored. Just think about what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 18, Matthew 16. Yeah. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, referring to himself, of course. But Peter, you are going to have the keys to the kingdom. Now, that's favor. John didn't get that. But did it mean that Jesus loved Peter less? No. But there was favor upon Peter more than upon John in specific areas. So God's favor can be diminished, but not his love. God hates his enemies, but still shows them his love. And get this, his favor is seldom upon his enemies. Yeah. Why does God love his enemies? The same reason we are to love our enemies, to see them being drawn into a relationship of intimacy with God. It's interesting. I have reconnected with Oswald Chambers. How many of you are Oswald Chambers lovers? Yeah. A phenomenal writer back in the 1500s, something like that. I don't know when it was. But he wrote things in a way that I can understand. And so that Utmost Highest series that he does, I've been reading that again. And yesterday's message from him was about intimacy with Father. Intimacy with Father. And it was so good. If you read Oswald, go back and read yesterday's. It was phenomenal. Anyway, see in your outline. Every child of God experiences both love and favor. Love is stable, favor fluctuates, and only God can explain it. Already said that. Luke 1, 28 and 20 and 30. You remember that context? Who is being addressed there? Mary. Mary is being addressed by the angel through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is doing what? He's impregnating Mary with Jesus. It's an expression of a unique favor upon Mary. And this statement is powerful. No one will ever experience this kind of favor again. No one. Can you imagine this? In God's mind, in the fullness of who God is in his fullness, he came into Mary at that moment of time for one unique experience for her to have, and it was to give birth to his son, Jesus. It will never happen again. So let me ask you a question. What are some only moments of the impregnation of who God is in your life that demonstrates his favor that happened only once? And there's something in you that wants to go back and say, do it again. And God says, no, it was a one-time experience. I think that's important for us. Fact is, I know it is. That's important for us to realize that just because God expresses himself in a supernatural way that is way beyond anything that we could ask or think, it's immeasurable, that would be repeated over and over and over again. It probably won't. Not everything is going to be repeated over and over and over again in his favor for us and with us. But enjoy the moment. Enjoy the journey. Yeah. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time grasping that whole concept of enjoying the journey of what God brings us through, God brings me through on a daily basis as part of his favor upon my life. And look at Luke 2:52, where it talks about Jesus grew in favor with God and favor with man. Horizontal, vertical. Vertical, horizontal. Yeah. Even Jesus grew in favor. So, like Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, we grow in grace, and the implication is the growth in grace. And grace is the same word as favor, and we'll be looking at that here in a minute, is part of what God wants from us. Yeah. D in your outline, it takes favor to get favor. That's an important word. Favor requires wisdom. Wisdom requires favor. Put favor to work, and you will get more. Favor is not an entitlement to be consumed. Get that. I want you to get that. Favor is not an entitlement to be consumed. It's an act of grace. Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Again, put it in the category of the fullness of God filling himself up in you. Filling yourself up in him. Goes both ways. God fills himself up in you, and God fills you in him. Him and you, you and him. Amazing, amazing, amazing. It's as we grasp that, we grow in the favor. And then what do? We take the favor of God upon us at any moment of time, and we put it to work. And it produces more, more favor. You can never outgrow the favor of God. You can't if you put his favor to work. Put the favor of God to work, and it will always reproduce itself. Always. Roman numeral 2, favor and love defined. Favor is honor, blessing, distinction given to someone without necessary explanation. Read that again. Favor is honor, blessing, distinction given to someone without necessary explanation. A preferential treatment. It denotes acceptance, approval, pleasure. In the New Testament, the word is charis. That's pronounced with a K sound, charis. It's the word for grace. It's a gift. The words grace and favor are translated from the same word, charis. We have been placed in God's good graces. We say that. We have special access to him, and we receive favor gifts. What I want you to do sometime this week is take Ephesians chapter 1, and pray through that whole chapter and personalize it for yourself. Pray through the whole chapter of Ephesians 1, personalize it for yourself, and you'll come to this verse 6, where it talks about being accepted in the beloved. And as God gives you revelation, you will begin to realize that the fullness of God and his favor is upon you because of your identity in Jesus. Paul said it in Romans, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Everything that is God's belongs to you. You're a joint heirs together with him. You're heirs of God. Incidentally, inheritance is connected with favor. Inheritance is connected with favor. You have your full inheritance right now, but you haven't realized the wholeness of your inheritance. Everything that Jesus is your inheritance. You have it all right now. But like Dennis, I appreciate how you said that. The seed to that inheritance, the favors of that inheritance are being planted in us, and they grow, they develop into the fullness of who God is. And the more full we are of God, ask yourself that question, how full am I of God right now? There's two sides to the answer to that question. How full am I of God right now? I'm as full as God is. Legally, your identity in Jesus makes you as full as God is in God. But experientially, it comes to fruition. It comes to fulfillment as you apply the truth about the fullness of God in your life on a daily basis. And you plant those seeds, and those seeds develop and grow, and you begin to experience more of the fullness of God that is in you, that you already have in your inheritance. Now, this is deep stuff this morning. I'm not giving you milk. This is deep stuff. Those of you who've known me over the years, I don't give you mamby-pamby stuff. Because, you know, I granted there's a time for milk. And Paul talked to the Hebrews, or if he was the author of that, about that. It was time to go back to the milk. But there, for most of you here in this room this morning, you need to understand that the fullness of God for you is something you need to comprehend and come to understand. So God's empowering presence, that's the definition of grace, that's the definition of charis. God's empowering presence is in us, with us, on us, and through us. I could have put that in there as well. His empowering presence, the fullness of God coming through us. So how is it that we can handle the disappointments of life? Ask yourself right now, what are the disappointments of life that I'm facing right now? What are the disappointments of life that I'm facing right now? If you are applying the favor of God in your life, you will be able to move through the disappointments of life and come through it a stronger person. I'll guarantee you. Yeah. you'll come through it a stronger person. Yep. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to pick it up with verse 8 because this is the context to what I call Paul's definition of favor. This is Paul's definition for himself of favor. And if you want to post that, Mario, that'd be great. Ephesians 3, 8, pick it up with verse 8. To me, Paul says, he's speaking of himself, who am less than the least of all the saints. Now, here's a man that knew the fullness of God probably more than any other apostle. And yet he calls himself the less than the least. This grace, what grace? The grace I'm about to tell you. This grace, this favor was given to me, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship, get this, of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, the many faceted aspects to the wisdom of God, might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, if that doesn't fire you up a little bit, I don't know what can. Just think about this for a minute. Think about what Paul is saying. He is saying, I am having and I have the favor of God upon me to deliver the message. What's the message? The message is that we, the body of Christ, the church, have been handpicked and chosen for the intent that now the many faceted aspects to the wisdom of God may be what? Taught, preached, declared, proclaimed to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Do you realize? Get this. I want you to get this because you're important. Every single day, to the extent that you allow the fullness of God to be full in you, you have words come out of your mouth. You have actions with your hands and your feet. You have life experiences that are declaring and speaking to the principalities and powers, both good and bad, God's angels and the enemy's angels, angelic presence. You are proclaiming and declaring the fullness of God unto them, and they are looking down and saying, whoa. You see what I'm saying? There are things, there is much about the fullness of God that we haven't even touched yet. Isn't that amazing? And so what every day, this is what I do. It's a habit. I do it every day. God, let me proclaim who you are in your fullness in me, so that I can proclaim to the heavenlies around me and declare through warfare and other declarations exactly what God wants them to know as well as what he wants us to know. Wow. You're all preachers. You are all declaring one way or another the fullness of who God is into the heavenlies, the principalities and powers. It says it right there. That's amazing. So get over it as it relates to I'm not worth much. That's a lie. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. You are worth the very nature and character of God. That is your worth and value and destiny and purpose. And so every day through your lips and through your life, one way or another, you are declaring not only to yourself and to those people around you, but to principalities and powers, the fullness of who God is. That's phenomenal. Yeah. One of these times, and I hope this doesn't embarrass you, Ricky Bass. One of these times, Ricky, we're going to hear your story about how you came to realize this and how you're coming to realize this. Spend some time with Ricky and let him share that with you. Phenomenal testimony. of realizing the fullness of the power of God in his life. And every one of us have a testimony. We don't have just an emony. We have a test emony. We're all being tested with our emony, our message. You say, wait a minute, what does that mean? We all have a message, a life message, and it's being tested constantly. And through that testing, God gives to us a message to declare and speak, not only to one another and to ourselves, but to all that is in the principalities and powers, the unseen world. And you know what happens when God witnesses that? When Father witnesses us being that, he goes, wow, those are my kids. That's my family. And what does he do? The more we live out his favor, the more favor comes upon us. The more we live out his favor, the more favor comes on to us. It's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal thing. All right? B, in your outline. Love is the action of God that draws us to himself. Love is the action of God that draws us to himself. That's what I just prayed earlier from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Look, let me first of all, let me back up just for a minute and finish 11 through 13, reading that. So we are this testimony to principalities and powers. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Wow. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus our Lord. We have boldness, boldness, boldness. So now be in your outline, yeah, what we prayed about the fullness of God and the love of God. His love is immeasurable, a sacrificial giving that gives us more than we can ask or think. A favor comes out of his love. So turn your page over. And I'm just going to take a couple of minutes here. I'm not going to go through all of this. You can study this on your own. And like I've always told you, I always give you far more information than what I could possibly teach in one setting. I've given you more information already than you can digest in one day. So take it, go back to it, think it through again and again and again and again and again. There's a stewardship of this favor that we need to connect with. And Jesus taught us about that in Matthew 25 and in the parable of the talents. And I'm not going to go through that whole segment of scripture in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. But what I'm going to go to is the last segment, verses 29 and 30. And so I think most of us understand and know we've read many times this parable. But he summarizes it, comes to its climax in verses 29 and 30. For to everyone who has, more will be given. That goes in line with the principle that I shared with you. Favor begets favor. And he will have abundance from him who does not have. Even what he has will be taken away and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, A, down in the bottom of your page there, chapter 25, verse 29, 30. In the same measure that faithfulness is rewarded, unfaithfulness is judged. In the same measure that faithfulness to the favor of God, to the love of God, is rewarded, unfaithfulness is judged. B, God judges everything that opposes love. God judges everything that opposes love. No, he did not correct the servant's view of him as a hard man, but rebuked him for his wrong response to that view. You remember that one of the servants came to his master and said, "You're a hard master." And notice, the master did not correct the servant's view of him as a hard man. He didn't do that. Rather, he rebuked him. He corrected him for his wrong response to that view. Yes, I'm a hard man. Yes, I expect you to be faithful to what I've given to you. Yes, I expect you to plant the seed of my favor in your life. Yes, I expect that. Yes, I expect you to nurture it, to water it, to let it grow and be what God wants it to be in your life. Yes, I expect that. In that sense, I'm a hard master. He should have been inspired by holy fear. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say that we are not particularly living in a period of time in the history of the church as the body of Christ. We're not living in a period of time that there is an overwhelming expression of holy fear of God. I'll say it. For me personally, what drives me to being effective in sowing the seeds that God has given to me to sow as it relates to his favor, it's because of the fear of God. What will end up if I don't? Where will I end up if I don't? What will become of what my influence in life is if I don't sow what God has given to me, if I'm not obedient with what he has given to me in his favor? It's a holy fear. Instead, we have to understand that holy fear out of love. It is always a love relationship. It is coming out of intimacy with God, and it is not a holy fear that makes you afraid of God, but rather a respect and awe of who God is. And you're saying, you know what, God, your love for me and filling me up with the fullness of your love and the fullness of your character and your nature and the fullness of who you are, all of that just drives me deeper into your love, into your compassion, into your kindness. And so in that sense, we have a holy fear of God. The faithful servants probably realized the master had very high expectations as well, but they trusted him. They trusted him. Let me ask you, are you trusting God now with the favor that he has given to you at this moment of time? Yes. The other day I was, Mike and Jolene are going through some stuff right now in a move and how God provided a house for them and all of this kind of thing. It's an awesome story. You need to let them tell that to you. But I'm going to say just a little bit about this, Jolene, okay? If it's okay with you. Jolene was at work. She's a waitress at Hog's Breath. Can I tell that story? Okay. She's a waitress at Hog's Breath. And one night, they were right in the middle of this whole thing where they need to move out of their house. The owner raised the rent, so there's no way they could afford the rent. They needed to find something else. God made a provision for them to have another house for a lot less and a lot larger piece of property. But anyway, the point being, she was just minding her business, doing her thing at work. And one of the families, one of the couples that she waited on, asked the manager at the restaurant what the name of this lady is, Jolene's name. She told her. She wrote out a check. I won't say how much it was, but it was huge. She wrote out a check and gave it to Jolene, saying, "I don't know what it is, but God wants me to show favor upon you." See, isn't that a good testimony? See, Jolene and Mike right now are experiencing a favor in this season like never before. It may never repeat itself again, but that's okay. For the moment, we're giving thanks and we're saying, "Thank you, God." Fact is, every day now with all this rain we've had, you remember how many years we have been praying for rain? Fact is, yesterday I went up to visit my son and daughter-in-law and their kids, and they live up in a home that Darren just finished above Lemon Reservoir. And as you drive up towards Sierra Verde Estates, Somebody put a sign up on the side of the road, pray for rain. And I'm looking to my left, and Lemon Reservoir is full and running over. And I thought, yes. And I asked Darren when I got up there, I said, are you guys still praying for rain? And he just kind of laughed. And I asked you that. You know, we have been praying that God would water the earth. And he has. So it's time to give him thanks, all right? Praise his name. Everything is green. Friday, I took our RV out to Navajo Lake. And as best I can sense, it's about 30 or 40 feet from being full. I haven't seen that in 10 years. The favor of God is upon us in many, many, many ways, natural and supernatural, tangible and intangible. Never underestimate what the favor of God is going on in your life right now. Yes, it's phenomenal. Be that faithful servant who keeps on sowing and sowing and sowing, even when the cracks are 3 inches wide in the earth, and you're praying for rain, and you pray for rain, and you pray for rain, and you pray for rain, and finally the rain comes, and favor comes, and the seed is germinated. This is true also spiritually. Some of us right now have cracks 3 inches wide in our spiritual man. We're dry, 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 dry. And you say, where's the favor of God on me now? It's still there. You're just not recognizing it. Where's the love of God on me now? It's just as great as it's ever been. You're just not recognizing it. And so you just pour out your heart before God and you say, God, I want to water this land in my spirit man. And I want you to pour out your rain upon me. He will. In his time, he will show his favor. He has to. If he doesn't, he's a liar. If he doesn't, he's inconsistent with his own nature. And he can't be inconsistent with his own nature. So we keep on crying out to God. You know, in this transition, in this rebuilding time here at Restoration Fellowship for us, God has given to some of us kind of a grumbling stage. I should say God has given to some of us. God has given to us an opportunity to be tested through this grumbling stage. We're grumbling and complaining about all kinds of things. And God is saying, stop it. Why? Because my favor, I desire my favor to be poured out upon you. Pour out your life unto me. Keep sowing the seed, and I will water it with the rain of my spirit. And it will multiply. More and more people are coming to Pagosa Springs, and we haven't seen the end of it. We will never see the end of it in this generation. It's a phenomenal time. Faithful servants don't get hung up on how they are going to fulfill the master's command. They just get to work. Trial and error. Trial and error. Yeah. Ebb and flow. E, last but not least, unfaithful servants look at the impossible and question the goodness of God, goodness and wisdom of God. They expect entitlements. We live in an entitlement generation, and they expect all of this for nothing with no responsibility. All of what? All of what God could give. The fullness of God with no responsibility. Give me a break. How can you have the inheritance of God, being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and have no responsibility? You can't. Yeah. We live in phenomenal times. Amazing times. And so, Father God, I just bring all of this to you right now this morning. And I know your purposes and your ways are being established here. There's a lot of questions in our mind. Unfulfilled, incomplete expectations. Father, you have filled us with your favor, and we have expectations for more. And yet it seems not to be happening in a timely manner, and yet you are there. You are here. You are present. You are sowing into us exactly what you want and what you desire so that your kingdom can be established in the earth. And we submit to that in Jesus' name. We submit to that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship team, come. We're going to close. I'm not sure who's assigned as ministry team this morning, but prepare yourself. Come. Yeah. Is there anyone here this morning? We got a few minutes. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to give a testimony to the favor of God that you're experiencing right now in your life? Okay, Dennis. Yeah. If you want to about the house. Yeah. Jolene, why don't you? We'll have two. We'll do two testimonies, all right?
When you get up, you forget half the stuff you're going to say. So I wanted to say I've been praying for people to get healed. And there's this one guy that we prayed for that had the widowmaker heart attack. And so we prayed for a new heart. Next day, he went to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with your heart. So you got a new heart. So we say, you know, God saved a man.
There you go. There you go. He's worthy of God's praise. Yes. Quickly.
So my mom has, everybody here now has seen my mom walk. And so she actually, I know this sounds ludicrous, but last Sunday she came in and she was really hurting, major back pain. And she fell down the stairs, you guys. I know this sounds totally nuts, but she literally slipped and went bump, 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 bump on her bum bum. And she called Mike and Nick and she made them promise to not tell me that she fell because she was in her slippery shoes she's not supposed to be wearing inside. And she knew she was going to be in trouble. But she ended up telling me herself later that evening, because behind it was a testimony. She feels like the Lord maybe made her fall because there's no pain in her back now. And so weirdly enough, like she went bump, 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 and now she's good, you guys. It's like God readjusted her with her fall. So there's a good one. But favor for my mom for sure. But this is a really great one, you guys. So when my uncle passed away, we wanted to move and we knew we needed to get out of that house. So we gave it to God and we gave it to our whole cleansing streams group that we were going through with at the time. And everybody's praying, did you find a house yet? Did you find a house yet? And we're like, no. I don't know if anybody's looked in the paper, but there's no houses. And so we just kept giving it to God and we were packing faithfully. And this was our first time we've ever trusted Jesus in this kind of a season for us. We knew that we just had to let him put us where he was going to put us. And then like the Guthries, I know y'all know them, or maybe some of you guys do, but they called me out of nowhere and they're moving and their house is the old church house in Aspen Springs. And Daryl and Pastor Steve own that. And they shed favor on Michael and I, and we are being blessed enough to actually get to go into that house and restore this house, you guys. And it needs love. This house needs lots of restoration. And immediately I thought, the moment I walked in, I'm like, restoration, restoration, restoration. I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning. I was waking up Mike. I'm like, I know what it means. I know what it means. And he's like, what? And I'm like, we have to restore this house. And God said that by restoring this house, he will restore all that he has promised me. Not some or part. All of my heart's desire that I have asked for restoring, which is my marriage, my family, my children, everything. And pardon. Just amazing the prayers that he is amplifying our faith in him right now, you guys. Amplifying. My son has been struggling immensely with the spirit. I asked and prayed for a godfather parent to come into my son's life. And I said, Lord, we have plenty of them within our body. I asked for one to step up. Don came out of nowhere and took my son under his wing. And my son has been smiling from ear to ear for over a week. You guys, the Lord is moving. Trust him. He will find his way in and he will do all that you ask him for. I promise you, it's amazing, you guys. We're up there right now.
Favor. Favor feels good, doesn't it? All right. Ministry team, come. And as we close, just come and receive from God. You may be here this morning and say, I'm just not feeling any favor at all. I know there's got to be some there, but I'm not sensing it. Just pour out your heart to one of these servants who want to minister into your life. And they will show you how to embrace the favor of God in your situation. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to confess Jesus as Lord in your life. You've never come to that place where you have come to full faith and complete trust in Jesus. Come. Come. Thank you, Father, for what all you have done, what all you're doing, and your favor is upon us. In Jesus' name.